This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Every December, we get drowned in joy, lights, decorations, ads insisting everything is magical. But the Christmas songs we cling to, they're often full of heartbreak, loneliness, longing. The songs we belt out at parties are sometimes about breakups, war, poverty, and people trying to make it through December. So, what is going on here? And why do sad Christmas songs feel so right at this time of year?
Gender, sexuality, and pop culture. There isn't much Lauren Rosewarne doesn't know. And if she doesn't, we'll make it up.
Good afternoon, Lauren Rosewarne.
Hello.
Oh, I've got you.
Oh. Excellent.
Okay.
We're both now going to have a bit of a cry and put some music on
put some sad
and get
songs.
Through the technology hiccups.
Oh, my goodness. Now, Christmas, it's meant to be the season of joy. So why do so many of the songs we love tap into sadness or heartbreak or longing? What?
If you think about Christmas films, these, and this is something I've spent a lot of time thinking of because I wrote a book about it a few years ago, Christmas films are also filled with sad themes as well. So I think that there's something that's a little melancholic about the season. Mm. And there's lots of elements to that. I think last week we touched upon one when we were talking about food and that idea of, you know, tradition bringing together people who might not have seen each other for a while. But sometimes there's going to be people missing. They may have died, there may have been falling outs, etc. And that's sad. And there's not that many things in each year that we remember where we were on that particular day. And I think that's part of the big deal of Christmas in terms of conjuring those complicated feelings.
And you're quite right. I mean, we shouldn't make assumptions. We see everything's all about happy families all being together and smiling with polished teeth. But we know that that's far from reality, isn't it, for a lot of people?
Oh, there's so many reasons as to why families might have strained relationships, you know. And I think Christmas just sort of makes it feel more intense. You might feel bad about your family throughout the year, but at Christmas time it feels sharper because the expectation is, well, everyone else is spending time with their family. Why aren't you? And I think the pressure to feel a certain way, be it joyful or celebratory or whatever it might be, that adds to feelings like melancholy because it's one of those things that's in sharp relief, if you like, with what you actually feel. You know, so there's that big gulf between how you actually feel and how you're meant to feel.
We just played Elton John's sad songs, deliberately picked that song because we're talking about it. Mm. Do you think he's on the money there that sad songs say so much?
Look, I think popular culture generally, but particularly music, is often a vehicle that people use to emote. You know, you might not necessarily be someone who can just sit down and have a cry, but you put music on and it kind of forces you to have that catharsis. So for some people, popular culture, but particularly music, is an outlet for a set of feelings. It gives you 3 or 5 minutes just to have a bit of a cry. And for some people, that's enough and then they get to move on with their day. For others, they actually like a bit of music. Miserable popular culture because it's, again, kind of like how you watch horror films or go on a roller coaster. You opt into a set of emotions that you know you can leave again if you want. And for some people, that's just a nice sort of way to break up the day. It's also, again, the burden of being so happy at this season. Often this is just a sort of relief of the pressure, you know, the pressure valve.
I have to share something with you. You nearly heard me cry then. Our air conditioning's not working here at Joy, and I've got a fan here. And as you were talking, all my the fan span around and blew all my notes all over the place.
Oh, yeah, no,
but I've got them back. So,
well, that's worth having a bit of a cry about. Same as in Australia, if we're having a really extraordinarily hot Christmas, that's another reason to feel a bit sad as well.
Now, a lot of the classics were written during World War II. How much do you think that era shaped the tone of Christmas music that we still hear today?
Yeah, and I think the classic example from that era is White Christmas. You know, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know. That idea of longing and about thinking of a place where you're not. And certainly this idea of Christmas being a time when there's a notion of what it should look like. and you should be back at home. So if you're deployed, let's say you're a soldier and you're, you know, fighting a battle on the other side of the world, you're away from your family. And that's, that distance thing is not only with war. It could be distance because you can't be with the person you love, etc. And those themes are often, there's a Pretender song that's coming to mind as one of those ones that's also about distance at Christmas time. That idea of having a physical distance from the people that you should be with or want to be with, again, more pronounced at Christmas time because of those cultural expectations.
Lauren, just on the nostalgia of Christmas, I mean, many of us find that that nostalgia can hurt as much as it comforts. So why does the season, though, magnify feelings from the past?
Look, I think part of it is the tradition and the idea that if you're a family that has a certain kind of celebration that you've always done, doing it differently disrupts that. You might have to do it differently because people are absent, situations change, financial circumstances, etc. That makes you feel like you've lost something. But the problem with nostalgia is about idealizing the past. It's not about thinking and reflecting on a past as it accurately was. It's very much about rose tinting it. You know, that's why in Christmas films particularly, there's often nostalgic portrayals of the Great Depression. No one's nostalgic for the Depression, but what the films show is, oh, but that was a time when we had closer understanding of family, and family is what's important. And that idea of nostalgia being, oh, things were beautiful and perfect in the past, and that's where I want to get back to, is because our brain is very, very good at editing out the bad bits. And that idea of, in fact, nostalgia is probably something we've all felt in various ways throughout every Christmas celebration. It just feels like there's this one time in the past where we want to get back to. That's partly because a lot of the joy of Christmas is often very children-centric, and we're not children anymore.
Is the Pretender song Him to Her?
That's it. Oh. No. It's not Him to Her.
Oh, I love that one.
I love that. That's probably my...
You know what's your favourite? I'm going to play that one.
Yeah.
Done.
But there's a different one, and it's got a something Miles in the title. Anyway, we'll find it. Someone's probably shouting it out of the radio as they listen.
There's upbeat Christmas hits too, though. There's Wham's Last Christmas, which I got into trouble because I played it a couple of times.
And Whamageddon. Yeah. But even that song, if you look at the lyrics, Last Christmas I gave you my heart, and the very next day you gave it away. It's not a positive Christmas song. It's about callousness, or at least perceptions of callousness. So I think even a lot of the tunes that we think, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, is often pointed to, oh, that's lovely. Is it lovely? Because listen to the lyrics. It's always sung in a way that's quite despondent. I think it comes from the film Meet Me in St. Louis. And there's an element there of the family moving away from where they grew up. And that's why that song is sung then. So, yeah, there is upbeat ones, but you kind of have to look to the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer sillier ones, which aren't giving you scope for reading too much into the lyrics.
Do you think playing sad Christmas songs actually helps us feel less alone in the chaos of December?
Yeah, there's definitely a feeling of shared misery. There's definitely a feeling of shared misery there, in the sense that if you hear someone singing about the feelings that you're feeling right now, you're validated. It's not just me miserable in December. It's this whole group of people who get why I feel this way. And that's part of the reason you often hear, for example, about self-harm at Christmas time. A lot of that's overstated. There's research that indicates that's a bit of a myth. But what is not a myth is people definitely feeling down at Christmas for all the reasons we've touched upon.
I agree. Lauren, I'm going to play Him to Her, The Pretenders. Great song.
I look forward to
We're playing Divas anyway. So thanks for joining us.
We'll talk to you next week.
Talk next week.
Thanks, Lauren.
Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.